iHeartLand today.
The Vikings are expected to make it official with defensive end Marcus Davenport today, the free agent finally signing his one-year contract with Minnesota. Spring training action today. Jameson Taillon starts for the Cubs against the Royals. Lucas Giolito goes for the White Sox against the Brewers. Major League Baseball's competition committee reportedly met on Monday and could tweak the new rule changes before opening day, which is coming up a week from Thursday. I'm Doug Thompson.
For the win!
From the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, where every Tuesday get 2-for-1 on the best wings in town.
Score!
This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Doco Pizza sponsored Adam Emenecker's weekly appearances with us throughout the conference play of the Missouri Valley Conference, right through the squad headed to Albany. So let's put a bow on this season, shall we? Stop in 24th and University in the Drake neighborhood. Great pizza to go or order online at DocoPizzaDSM.com. DocoPizzaDSM.com. And as Trent knows, they also deliver because they delivered right here to the radio station. Here's Adam Emenecker, and he joins us. Hello, Adam, Trent, and Ken. How are you?
You know, Trent, Ken, the last weekend, we talked about this before, one of my favorite weekends of the year. But, you know, there's a feeling of melancholy in the air for sure after watching all three of the state teams on the men's side. You know, Iowa State just struggle shooting. Mm-hmm. Iowa just kind of the same story, and a Drake team that was the better team for 35 minutes against the 5-seed Miami, and seeing Miami move on to the Sweet 16 over Indiana. I liked that Drake matchup against the potential matchup against Indiana. Would have really liked to see the Bulldogs heading into a Thursday or Friday game this week.
I thought they were going to do it against Miami, Adam. I really did. And then we just got a text sent to us from our friend Mike Mahon. I did not know this little angle to this story. I wondered. In fact, people were, where's Sturts? Why isn't Sturts in the game? What's DeVries doing? And then we come back, minutes ago, we got the same text that apparently food poisoning went through a number of players on the team. I had not heard that, but now I can, you know, connect the dots as to why Sturts wasn't on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, definitely unusual for a guy that's been an Iron Man in a Drake uniform, 165 plus games, NCAA leader in just overall games. And, you know, for a guy that's usually in that 30 minute range to only play 19 minutes and not have his Sturtsian type stats. You know, he's a guy that we're used to being close to a double-double every game and only a one shot attempt from the floor and only one rebound. So 2 points, one rebound in 19 minutes, really unusual for Garrett Sturts. It definitely made it seem like something else might have been going on.
So I was looking at the win probability chart. It was at 91 point.
With 5 minutes left?
Yeah, 91.7% chance of winning the game, and then the 16-1 run from Miami. A performance like that for Tucker DeVries and struggling to shoot the basketball. We've talked about your performance shooting the ball from the field, though you got to the free throw line. You're hitting
free throws. Double double.
Yes, in the game for you guys back in the day. And those kind of performances, though, how does it linger? I know it was different. Tucker's got a lot of basketball in front. That was your last game in a Drake uniform, but what is it? How long does that sit with you? How long did it sit with you coming off that loss?
I mean, it sits with you forever. As a competitor, you remember the times you fail, and you remember the times that don't go your way a heck of a lot more, and you remember the times that do go your way, right? And it is the fear of failure more than it is the celebration of success and hating losing. And, you know, I think you look at when we talked last week, we were talking about, listen, I expect Tucker DeVries and Roman Penn to be Tucker DeVries and Roman Penn. And they were in spurts, and both of them played well. They both helped their team, right? But I think for Tucker, you look at 1 of 13 from the floor. Man, that is an uncharacteristic game from him. You mentioned the win probability, Trent. If Tucker DeVries makes 1 or 2 shots, if he's 3 for 13 and not 1 for 13, Drake probably wins that game. And you look by the same token, you look at Roman Penn, 11 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, pretty well-rounded stat sheet. But he's a guy that's a 3-1 assist to turnover guy, 4 turnovers in the game for Roman Penn. If Roman Penn has a couple less turnovers, they maybe win that game. And so, you know, that I don't say that in any way, shape, or form. You don't put blame on the players, right? But I do think that's part of the reality is there were definite chances for this team, and no doubt, no question, for both of those two, as well as the 8 guys that played in that game, there's going to be an element of, man, what could we have done that's going to continue to fuel them as they go on through their careers?
I know you're not Dr. Adam Emenecker, but when you look at how it played out, right, with 35 minutes, they just seemed to run out of gas. Everything, all their shots seemingly hit the front of the rim, Adam. They couldn't break the press. It seemed like Miami found another spurt athleticism-wise, and Drake couldn't match up. I'm starting to think there's a whole lot to this this text that you and I both received a few minutes ago, especially when it comes to, you know, the shooting performance, and if indeed, you know, the adrenaline takes you so far, and Trent and I said it on, they just ran out of gas. Now maybe we know why.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, you saw a team that in the last 5 minutes of the game did not have the same freshness that they did at the beginning. And I think part of it, not only what we were talking about on the offensive end with being short from shots from distance, but also you kind of saw it in their defense, right? I mean, there were a little more open looks down the stretch. And, you know, more than anything, as we're talking about this, credit Miami, right?
Sure. Like,
Miami's a team that won the ACC. They found a way to win. And that's what good teams do, survive in advance. You hear that all the time in the NCAA tournament. But I do think there were some maybe uncharacteristic plays and a team that looked worn down, especially after having that, we talked last time about that 10-day stretch where you're not playing 10 or 11 days. You would have expected this team maybe to struggle at the start, not having their legs, but to be fresh at the end. So it was interesting that it was kind of the other way around, maybe lending credence to the potential for food poisoning.
You took a chance at Drake when Drake basketball had not had success in a really long time. This program right now is in a completely different spot. You look at this group of guys that are going to be departing, Sturts and Penn and on and on and on. There is going to be certainly some big holes to fill. But looking at Drake basketball and being here after you graduated for the last, 15 years now, the 10 years in between, did you ever think that it could get to this level, that it would be a consistent winner in the MVC?
I think absolutely. And I think, Trent, the blueprint is there. We've seen programs across the country really capitalize on what I would consider underserved cities, a city like Des Moines that not only has the basketball acumen, but potentially the appetite. Mm-hmm. And this is a nice place to live. People that are outside of the state don't really know. But Ken, you know, you're not from here. Nope. I'm not from here. And it kind of sucks you in and you stay because the quality of life here can be really high. I think what you have with Drake and it within the Missouri Valley, you have a highly competitive conference that has traditionally done damage. Loyola going to the Final Four a few years back, success in the tournament, it seems year over year over year, and getting big wins in the non-conference. And you have Des Moines, which is one of the more desirable cities in the Missouri Valley, and Drake, a school with a good reputation for employment considerations and beyond. So I don't know that I'm shocked or surprised. Now, what I would like to see, you know, back to where do you see the model? Well, you see the Butlers, who's now in the Big East, and what Butler's been able to do in Indianapolis and how they built their program and their history. You see the Creightons that get 18,000 fans, 18,000 stinking fans to every game in Omaha. It's those type of programs that Drake is going to try to find a way to emulate. And Darren DeVries has really built a strong foundation with him at the helm the last 5 years that, you know, if he continues to stay in that chair, then well, that's what you're trying to build, that long-term sustainable success where your program becomes part of the national conversation on a consistent basis.
Well, speaking of conversations, seemingly Darnell Brody started appearing weekly in our conversations at some point in January.
Yeah.
And there was seldom a week that we didn't bring him up in our talk. Boy, oh boy, he played his you-know-what off the other day. He got better as the season went on. I don't know what it is. I mean, everybody, I don't know. But can you pinpoint what changed in his game? Clearly, one of the aspects of it, he, for the most part, avoided foul trouble, which kept him on the floor. Yep. He played his you-know-what off on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, and he played up to his capability. And so you look at Darnell Brody and you see the size. and he's got a really good skill set, and he's a good athlete. But at 6'10", 280, 285, 275, whatever his actual weight is, somewhere around there, the guy can be an absolute brick wall defensively. And when he is motivated to rebound and when he's getting himself in position, he's almost impossible to stop. So you look at what he did. You know, we were talking about Norchad Omir. Yep. And how his injury is going to play a big role in the game. Well, number 15 for Miami looks pretty good, 12 points and 14 rebounds. But you could also see, and part of the credit to Darnell Brody, Norchad Omir is not used to encountering guys like Darnell Brody. He would bump into Darnell Brody. Darnell Brody's the immovable object right down there. He can take that contact and not only contest the shot with his length, but then he'll go grab the ball with two hands. That was a huge, huge key. And for Darnell Brody, not only to play really good defense to control the boards, but also end up with 20 points. Man, he was really, really good for Drake. And what they needed, since the offense from some of the key contributors, the guys we're used to seeing score points like Tucker DeVries, didn't quite have it.
Okay, JMU has left the program. He's entered the transfer portal. There's going to be a whole lot of reshuffling happening with this roster going forward. When you look at the guys that are remaining on the roster, take Tucker away. We know about Tucker DeVries and what he can be. But from the young guys, from an Enright to a Ferguson, saw a little bit of North weather this year. Those young guys, maybe guys we didn't see much this season. Who are you excited about? Who are some names that people should know going into next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the core of what you would have expected would be Connor Enright, Tucker DeVries. Obviously, we talked Darnell Brody, and then I thought Okai had a chance to be one of those key contributors at the wing position, whether it's him potentially as a starter, depending on who comes in, or him coming off the bench. You know, he shot 50% from three, and it was his defense that meant he couldn't get the consistent minutes on the floor. And especially if you compare him and DJ Wilkins, their skill set kind of similar, but DJ much more seasoned defensively. But I think what it really is going to boil down to for Drake, when you think about the roster and moving into next year, is for the people you mentioned, Ferguson, Northweather, Samaka, which of those guys, if they remain in a Drake uniform, can take the next step? They've all shown that they have a skill set that they can contribute in spurts. But what is that to really differentiate themselves and to make them a key contributor in the Valley? And then I think when you look at the guard position, you're really focused on a couple of the guys that they have coming in, a couple of the freshmen. And I would look for Darren DeVries with four open scholarships, maybe five now with Okai moving on, to potentially be pretty active in the transfer portal. And I don't know if you guys followed that whole Twitter machine thing, but man, that transfer portal has been active, and you see Drake's name pretty engaged with a number of wings across the country.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Do you know much? I've got asked you this before, but it's good that they've got into the NIL. Well, Drake hasn't, but there has friends of the program have started a collective to try and keep this program as close to even footing with some of the other schools, that they can. So it's good to see that somebody's taking the initiative. I'm not sure how successful it has been so far as how many people have signed up and want to help the collective. But that's good to see, Adam, that they're involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's a step in the right direction. And it's just like, you know, it's no different, Ken, than 25 years ago. And you're thinking about how do we put our best foot forward as a university? How does Drake put their best foot forward as a university and the fan base to try to attract and retain the best players they can? I mean, now as the landscape has changed, NIL has become a bigger part of that. And some of the power, so to speak, has shifted to the players, albeit both through the transfer portal, as well as just having the opportunity to earn based on their name, image, and likeness. And so I think that is a way to continue to be competitive, not only having the right coach, not only having the right facilities, not only having a school that's a good cultural fit for the players, but now also having the what's next, which is going down that NIL path. So look forward to seeing that continue to grow. And as Drake continues their success, man, that only gets easier and easier for the folks involved on the back end.
Indeed it does. Adam, again, thanks a lot for your contribution to our program. And I'll speak on behalf of The Drive. They loved having you as well. Thank you for doing this, Adam, all season long. Appreciate it. And look forward to next year. Thank you, Adam Emenecker. Have a good summer.
Yep, appreciate it. Thanks, Ken. Yep. Thanks, Trent. Talk to you guys soon.
You sure will. Adam Ebenecker from the 2008 team. And look, the similarities are uncanny, right? Between him and DeVries, Larry Bird winners. Ebenecker, I think, was 0 for 10 from the floor, had a double-double, rebounds, and made his free throws. Tucker, Larry Bird winner, 1 for 13. Both way better shooters than that, but just one of those days. But the food poisoning, when you think about this team, the way they were out of gas.
The legs were short on shots. Just not having that extra oomph. Balls getting tipped away.
And why Sturt's not on the floor?
Yeah, well, now we know.
Yes. You know, yesterday we brought up that the SID, the kid who's still in school, for Farley Dickinson. Did you see what happened to him yesterday?
No.
He was added to the Final Four in Houston SID team.
That's great.
And he said, whoever's in charge of this at the NCAA, we set out this disclaimer. We can't do this for everyone. But they added, his last name is Sarnoff.
How cool.
Really cool story for him. Really cool.
So I was taking a peek here, a quick side note. And last week, again, NCAA wrestling gets lost in the shuffle.
It does.
We saw one of the biggest upsets in NCAA wrestling history.
Yep.
And it was a big deal. We were having breakfast Saturday morning with Mike Palm from Circa.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a 5-minute clip on SportsCenter I saw over your shoulder where they were talking about Spencer Lee. But it's lost.
Yep.
And I've talked for years.
Like, if his mom doesn't break her glasses, it's probably not. Right. It doesn't get half the coverage.
I've always said move it back a month. Put it in the middle of April. The weekend after the Masters. It's week two of baseball. Mm-hmm. We're maybe starting NBA and NHL playoffs, but usually
close,
it's still
a
week later.
Finishing up, yeah.
It's like the end of the regular season.
Yep.
It is a perfect time for it. Mm-hmm. But even move it back a week. Remember the women's tournament did this for a few years?
They had it,
and I loved it.
Yep.
You got that wall-to-wall coverage again a week later. I don't know why they went away from that. I think it helped, and we see, obviously, the growth of women's basketball. Mm-hmm. I think it would be huge right now. But I was looking at what the schedule was last year for the Elite Eight games, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, they have games at 5 o'clock, and then a little bit afterwards, so it'll be about 8 o'clock for the two games. Then on Sunday, they play at 1:20, and then about 4 o'clock. You put those finals on Sunday night when there's nothing happening, or women's basketball is going to figure out the schedule that is advantageous for all of your sports.
So the Elite Eight games are 1 and 4 this
1:20 and 4 o'clock. Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was last year for Saturday, and then Sunday it was. No, excuse me, 5 o'clock on Saturday, and then 1:20 on Sunday is what it was a year ago. It just doesn't it make sense to spotlight all of your sports? Mm-hmm. If lacrosse was going on right now, if soccer was going on right now, actually. Swimming and diving championships, I believe, also happened last weekend. When you want to spotlight everything, don't put it up against the behemoth that is March Madness.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. And even the one-day difference between the women's and the... Last night, you know, it was women's basketball I watched last night.
There was so much Twitter on women's basketball coming through my feed.
National
And it did involve Iowa and Iowa State.
National conversations. Yes. For a sport in wrestling that we continue to see, D1 programs expiring... When cuts happen at universities, wrestling is one of those places on the chopping block. I love the sport. I'm never going to go to Nationals. I want to go to Nationals. I want to be there as a fan. I want to go there and cover it. I want to be there for an event that is important to me. But it's not going to happen because there's something that's just a tick higher in that scale.
Carr at Iowa State got beat.
Another big story the kid that he beat in the lost in the championship and beat. He'd beat twice in the regular season. They saw each other in the Big 12 championship, and then they wrestle again for a national title, and he gets them there. These stories can be spotlighted in such a bigger area. I know Doug Schwab, the wrestling coach at UNI, he has been a longtime advocate.
Boy, he's
of that.
A great quote, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Well, he's a fine Osage lad, of course. Well, he is. Okay. Yes.
So did he grow up close to you? Or?
Yeah. He grew up.
I mean, how big is Osage?
4,000. Well, it's a little less now, 3,500 now.
Okay.
It was 4,000 when I was growing up. We lived in little town New Haven, town of 50. Told you, got a church, hardware store, two bars.
No Casey's.
No Casey's.
Holy mackerel.
No Casey's in New Haven. But Doug, he was 3 years older than me, so he was, when I was on the baseball team as a freshman, he was a senior. And that fiery attitude also came off on the baseball field, not just on the wrestling mat. Became a national champion. I've talked to Doug about this a lot, and he has been, since he's been the coach at UNI, he's been on the advisory council. He has tried. It hurts, I understand, with the international schedule. That's what makes it difficult. But even just do it a week. just push it back a week. It could be such a bigger event than it already is. And the short-sightedness, well, we sell out. Yes, you sell out for those 20,000 fans that come every single
year. You've got them.
You have them.
You have to build. You've got that 20 grand.
It drives me crazy. And seeing it again, even this, just move it back a week. You're not messing with the calendar then when you do that. Mm-hmm. And I think also you move it back a month. The schedule, it is such a grind for these guys, cutting weight, what they have to do, and the physical toll that it takes. Make it a one-semester sport. Wouldn't that be better also for the student-athlete? That's what we're told matters. Make that sport that is demanding as any sport. Make it a one-sport one, a one-semester schedule. I think that would make a ton of sense too. But, well, I've been complaining about it here for 20 years on the air, and nothing has changed, and I'll probably be another 20 years of complaining about it.
Matt Snyder will help us out with the World Baseball Classic, the championship tonight. We look forward to this piece with Matt Snyder. He joins us each and every week during Major League Baseball season. Ready or not, next week it's here. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 106.7.
Today to get started.
The time is now to schedule your vasectomy with the Urology Center of Iowa. Do it around that great golf tournament in Augusta, Georgia, or MLB opening day. The Urology Center of Iowa offers no scalpel vasectomies. And now for your follow-up checkup, you don't even have to go back to the office. Post-procedure, send it in. Set up your vasectomy appointment at 515-400-3550. That's 400-3550. Or online, Iowa URO.
KXNO.
If you own a house, you've got a huge asset. And everyone's looking at it. With Wall Street investors buying up homes in Des Moines and renting them out like never before, you have to wonder, what do they see in your big asset that you don't? The truth is, if you sell your home instead of renting it, you can kiss your asset goodbye. Especially with today's higher interest rates, the best way to save your asset is to rent it out instead. Does renting make your asset look big? Yes, it does. Especially when you hire the professional landlords at Renter's Warehouse. DIYing your property management is a total pain in your asset. But with Renter's Warehouse, you never have to find tenants, collect rent, or handle pesky maintenance calls again. Don't lose your asset. And stop busting your asset trying to manage it yourself. Go to RentersWarehouse.com to book your free home rental price analysis today. Or call 515-528-4429. Renter's Warehouse. You can't buy happiness. Roofing.net.
When you bet the college hoops action in March, you want to bet where the pros bet. With Circa Sports. Get all the benefits of the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips with the Circa Sports app. Experience high limits, low holds, tight money line splits, and the best customer service. Download your new bookie today and bet like a pro from anywhere in Iowa. Don't miss any of the March action. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Must be 21 and present in the state of Iowa to place wagers. If you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call 1.
Last summer, my house was hit with hail. Between assessing damage on the roof and dealing with insurance, it can be a stressful situation. Luckily for me, it wasn't stressful because I called my friends with Wolf Roofing. We were able to get a new roof on our family home in one day. It looked sharp, everything was cleaned up, and now we have peace of mind with our new roof. Set up your next roofing project with Wolf Roofing at 515-225-8866. 8866. Or you can go online at Wolf
800 bets off.
Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountains.
Get you pumped up?
I love this song. I don't know why it's not played more.
It's so well done.
It really is. This isn't. I'm a Canadian. I love this tune. It just gets my goosebumps. Let's get Matt Snyder in here. CBSSports.com. He joins the program.
USA.
What's up, Matt Snyder? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I love that song. I love it, too. It always reminds me of The Sandlot when they're playing on 4th of July under the fireworks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, you know, and this World Baseball Classic tonight. Like, I think people are late to it, Matt. I do. I mean, I'll speak for myself. And I think Trent the same way. It's the March Madness, the whole thing, right? The conference tournaments, dot, dot, dot. This has been phenomenal. Phenomenal television, and culminates with two of the biggest names in the sport that sadly we don't get to see in October, in Ohtani and Trout. And here they are against each other tonight, and the storylines that, boy, we hope that they are written. But I keep going back to it, Matt, and people that are poo-pooing this thing. You see the joy on the and the passion on the players, on the coaches, and amongst the fans that sell out that ballpark each and every night. They are into it in a way that, quite honestly, I wasn't sure that you could get to that level, but boy, they certainly are.
Yeah. Well, I think USA is late to it. Every other country, especially the ones that have a chance to go deep, I think you see all the players, it means so much to them, and they get so into it. And as USA, you only, if you have the chance to respond, you're going to. And I'd say by the time we were watching that game against Venezuela and Trey Turner hit that grand slam, that was awesome, man. I mean, that really was like a playoff game. That was so cool. And just watching the Japan walk off last night with Murakami, who was the MVP in MPB, Japan's league last year, with 56 home runs, but he had been struggling. They dropped him in the lineup. Then he came through with a walk-off. It's been a really, really exciting tournament. Unfortunately, the Edwin Diaz, and then to a little bit lesser extent, Jose Altuve injuries cast a pall over it a bit. But I'm continuing to try to argue with people that Diaz could have just as easily torn his UCL in his elbow in spring training, because we've seen pitchers like Adam Wainwright do that before. And as far as Altuve getting hit by a pitch, Justin Turner and Austin Nola have both been hit in the face in the spring. So there are risks everywhere you go.
It doesn't just go away in spring training as opposed to what they're going through right now. It's baseball. Funky things happen. And there is a laundry list of baseball injuries, like guys putting on shirts and all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, right.
Slipping in the kitchen. Yeah. I mean, all kinds of crazy injuries that have happened there. Watch it last night. And right after I tweeted it, of course, I look like a moron. But
yeah, you did.
Roky Sasaki, that dude, I know he is not
trying to figure out how to get him in a Twins uniform.
Oh, they do not have the money for that. What is his posting fee going to be when he becomes eligible and he makes the decision to come over, if he does, to come over from Japan? Because that dude, a fireballer at 101 consistently, boy, he's fun to watch.
It's tough because we don't really have a good comparison there. I mean, the last gigantic name to come over was Ohtani, but he didn't even go through the posting system. He just left.
Right.
Well, the max is $20 million now. I mean, remember we used to see like Dice K was like $66 right. million, but it's max of 20 now. But I'm just trying to think about the contract in general. Seiya Suzuki got like 585. He was older and a much less big name than Roky will be once he gets there. So I bet you it'll be, I mean, the max, the 20 obviously is the max on the posting fee, but the salary itself, it'll be in triple digits. It'll be in nine digits, I should say. Over $100 million for sure.
Wow. You know, you mentioned Ohtani, and this is a guy that we see, you know, when we're watching the Angels or the All-Star game or whatever. Seems pretty reserved, pretty quiet. You know, and obviously the language is an issue still. But then you see him in a, playing for his country. This is a different guy. These are two completely different guys. This just, to me, exacerbates how much this tournament means to some of these teams.
It does. It's so many other countries. It's a big deal to represent your country, and I think it's gotten lost in there at some point with us on the major professional sports, where playing in Major League Baseball or the NBA is a much bigger deal than representing your country in something like this. I don't think that's the case in like soccer. But, you know, it seems like in baseball and basketball, at least, what we do in the NBA a lot of times get those hugest names. It just doesn't seem like they're playing in those like they are in the NBA Finals, for example. It's not necessarily a complaint. And I will say, if you look at anybody that's playing on USA right now, they sure all look like they want it.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yes, they do. So, tonight, we know that the rosters, we're not going to see somebody go out there and throw 100 pitches. We know they can't. I mean, that's
who's starting for the U.S.?
That's kind of where I'm going. Game plan-wise, what are we looking at for Team USA? Kind of look at the rotation. Who's available for this team? Who do we anticipate we're going to see for how long?
Merrill Kelly is starting. Okay. Surely DeRosa isn't going to try to get him through the lineup more than once. Right. I mean, he had a rough go against Columbia the second time through. After that, the bullpen is really, really rested after the 14-2 win over Cuba and the day off. So you've got Presley and Devin Williams at the back end, but you can piece it together in the middle with guys like Kendall Graveman and Jason Adam, who have been pretty much locked down. He probably needs to avoid Daniel Bard after the performance the other night.
That was rough.
He had no idea where it was going. But everybody else should be available, and I think he can really, really shorten the game, at least with some of those games that I mentioned.
What do we know about the Japanese starter?
He's left-handed.
Yep.
One of their better starters, but coming into the tournament, I wrote that they had four aces among those, Ohtani and Darvish, and obviously Roki, Sasaki. This guy was not one of them, so he was probably their fifth starter coming in. Ohtani's available, and the Angels were asked about it, and they said it's up to him. I don't know why he's not starting. I don't know how he does in relief. We don't really have a gauge for that. He usually always starts. Even in the All-Star game when he was going to pitch, they said, let's have him start because that's his routine. So it would be weird if they started a lefty and then went to Ohtani. Like if they were trying to do one of those opener things. Darvish is available as well. So I don't know if they'll – I don't have any knowledge of how – you know, this event hasn't even been played since 2017 and Japan didn't get to the finals. So I don't know if they will operate like it's a Game 7 of a World Series where they start just, an assembly line of starting pitchers that we've seen from some Major League Baseball teams, but it's possible. It's possible that we'll see both Ohtani and Darvish in relief.
How big of a chance does this one have to be tonight? I mean, it feels like the buzz is definitely out there.
It's growing.
If it's close, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I wish it was on Fox, though, Matt. I mean, Big Fox.
They're still trying to push everybody over to FS1 and make it into ESPN or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure whatever singing show is on Fox is going to be amazing, really, though.
Yeah. Well, it's being set up, right? It's everything's coming into place. It's the ninth inning. The Americans are down a run. There's a runner on third. There's two out, and Mike Trout's in the on deck circle, and there's a commotion in the bullpen.
And here comes Shohei,
and here he comes, baby.
Wouldn't that be something?
Amazing. Oh my god,
that'd be absolutely off the charts, amazing. Yes, that would be so good.
Well, we got the back to the slowdown of baseball, and I'll tell you, watching the last couple of games for Team USA, I'm like, let's go, get in the box, let's go. And even with all the theater and the riveting, I was ready for the pitch clock to even make its way to the World Baseball Classic.
I was actually, my dad and I were watching last night, and he mentioned, like, man, you really notice no pitch clock in these games. After you even watch a few spring training games, you go to over the World Baseball Classic, and it's just instinctually already, you're like, man, throw the ball.
Let's go.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Did you see, Matt, and I haven't read the piece yet. It popped while Trent and I are on the air. Apparently, Major League Baseball is going to tweak some of the rule changes in advance of opening day. Didn't we have spring training so the players could get used to the rule changes, and we're going to tweak them?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about it?
A lot of complaints about the pitch clock. No, I don't know anything about that. So it just happened. Okay. I know from talking to a lot of the players, I've been in Arizona for over a week now, and I've gone to seven different clubhouses and talked to a bunch of guys. Universally, most of the other rule changes are beloved. Most of them love the new bases. All the position players love the only two pickoffs twice rule and have talked about how many more stolen bases are going to be. The only complaints you hear are about the pitch clock and how they need more time, mostly from the pitcher side. So maybe they're examining whether or not to give a few more seconds on the pitch clock, but I do know from what I've heard that Major League Baseball is absolutely committed to clocking them and to preventing the long, long periods of dead time. So if there's any kind of tweaks, it's going to be a few more seconds, and that's it.
Gotcha. Hey, my last thing, since you were in Arizona, and it's been over 20 years since I've been to spring training, but there was a stretch of 4 years I went every year to Florida. And it seemed like Florida was the place to be, right? There seemed to be more teams there. Yeah. But Arizona's taken over, haven't they? Or have they?
100%.
They have. It's,
yes,
right.
I think so.
How come?
The places in Florida are all further apart.
Yep.
I think that, it, you know, for a long time, the retirement was moved to Florida. Mm. And I think a lot of the Midwest and even, you know, Pacific Northwest, it once Arizona started to grow, I mean, Mesa is almost as big as Phoenix. I'm Jeez. Pretty sure Mesa is gigantic at this point, and it just keeps going further east and further west. A lot of the ballparks are relatively new. It became a cottage industry like 15 years ago, and now you go to a random weekday game, and it's at least half full, if not two-thirds, and the night games are almost always sold out. And some of the teams, Cubs, for example, it's almost sold out every single time.
Unbelievable. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Matt, thank you for doing this here today. Can't wait to watch this game tonight. It's appointment TV, certainly for Trent and I. And I hope it puts up a big number, and I hope we are thoroughly entertained, and we'll talk baseball with you next week at some point. Matt, thank
Absolutely.
You for doing this.
Absolutely.
I can't wait, brother. Thank you, Matt Snyder. CBSSports.com for all the coverage. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Take care. Matt Snyder, as he joins us. You going to make this part of your plays tonight?
I have three plays on this one. Not even doing a full unit. This is more just fun
for
money.
For fun?
Yeah. Have a couple of things in there. Circa's got a couple of props up. So looking at the total, looking at will there be a run scored in the first inning. And going to take an opinion on this one. But we had an NIT game. We got some NBA. And we're going right back to the hockey parlay.
You're hot.
Last night. We're right back at it.
That's next. Circus sponsors Trent's Plays of the Day. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
1027.
Trent Condon joined once again by Dr. Ethan Heisman from Elite Eye Care on University Avenue in West Des Moines. Dr. Heisman, you're one of the few eye doctors that provides corneal refractive therapy in Iowa.
This is a unique contact lens that is only worn when sleeping at night, similar to maybe a retainer. And what it does is you're wearing it at night, it gently reshapes the eye to correct near sightedness. So that way during the day, no glasses or contact lenses have to be worn to have crisp vision all day long.
Eye exams, contact lenses, eyeglasses for you and your family.
Butler.com.
Build your business. At Signorama of Urbandale, they offer customized solutions for signs, branding, marketing, and advertising. They have a full range of custom sign and graphic services to meet your needs, build your brand, and create your image. Look around and you'll see how Andy Woodley and his staff help businesses enhance visibility and get noticed. Signorama of Urbandale, the way to grow your business. Check out the new location at 10301 Dennis in Urbandale and online at signorama.com/IA.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced, factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa features Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines, or you can find them online at washersystems.com.
Back to Miller and Condon on KXNO and Trent's Pick of the Day, presented by Circus Sports Iowa.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Couple of minutes. You got time for your plays of the day? Did we leave you enough time?
Yeah, we're good here. We bring up the app and get everything sorted for today. Let's see. Pending wagers. Here we go. All right. Three for the World Baseball Classic. I'm hedging my emotions and give me Japan plus the 120 on the money line.
You always do that.
I do that quite often. I'm taking the yes on the first run. Now, you got to lay minus 145 currently at Circa on that one. But I think we're going to see a run put up, a tally up there in the first. In my biggest opinion, I like over.
Well, when you're the starters, I mean, the fifth starter for Japan, that kid from the Diamondbacks, that's the best the Americans can throw out there.
Not a whole lot left out there, so I'm going to go over 10 is the number. That is my biggest opinion there. Tonight in the NIT, give me Oregon. They're laying 2.5 at home against that crappy Wisconsin team. Sacramento Kings and Keegan Murray as he chases down the three-point rookie record, plus 5.5 at home against Boston. And my hockey parlay, I know you've been waiting for this.
Lay it on me.
Bruins, of course.
That's a free square.
And the Capitals at home as they take on the Blue Jackets.
I like your pick.
Parlay it together, minus 106 at Circa. Other places, minus 130. Mm. Where should you be playing?
Where you get the biggest price, and that's Circa. Miller and Condon to talk to you more. Murph and Andy next, Drive 3.